Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's our 822nd day together in God's Word, day 822. We're here at the beginning of April, if you're watching this as they're being released, and we're coming down the home stretch. We've got 3/4 of 1 year to go in our walk through God's Word, one chapter at a time. And we're here in Psalm 119, which we've broken up into 2 days, and we're looking at verses 89 to 176. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which brings us life. Thank you for your Son, who is the Word of God incarnate, who is the keeping of every promise you've ever made, who walked in and fulfilled your law for us. Write your word on our hearts today. Help us to see Jesus and love him. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, Psalm 119, starting in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Lamed, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Mem. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Noon, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Samak, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Pay. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Sade. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, and I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart, I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Resh. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Seen and Sheen. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word. Like one who finds great spoil, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Tav. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Psalm 119. So hopefully you caught part one yesterday, because we covered a lot of important ground in terms of the different words that are used for the word of God in Psalm 119. And I said yesterday that pretty consistently throughout Psalm 119, the hope for life and for salvation, the hope for rescue is according to the word or the promise of God or the steadfast love of God. These things that are not what God requires of us, but what God has spoken to be true about himself and what he has done or will do, and his steadfast love, his chesed, his heart for us. Now, here in the Resh stanza, we see something, and there's a few of these throughout that may challenge us a little bit. We might think, wait a minute, this isn't exactly what you said the pattern is. And so I want to look at that a little bit more carefully and see how we can understand this. Okay, so we have in verse 154, plead my cause and redeem me, give me life according to your promise. That's the pattern that I told you is generally by far the predominant pattern throughout Psalm 119. But then 156, great is your mercy, O Lord, give me life according to your rules. There it seems like he's wanting life according to the keeping of God's rules. And then we have one more, give me life, in this stanza. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. So there's a threefold plea to God. I've got them all on the screen there. Give me life. In verse 154, it's according to your promise. In verse 156, it's according to your rules. And in verse 159, it's according to your steadfast love. What's going on here? Well, this is something that we need to keep in mind according to the gospel, and that is, we are saved by the keeping of the law. We are saved by God's justice. We are saved by perfect obedience. But it's not our keeping of the law. It's not our perfect obedience. It's that of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ has kept the law for us, he has fulfilled all righteousness required. God can save us according to his rules, according to his law, because Christ has fulfilled the law. But for us, that's mercy. Great is your mercy, right? Undeserved forgiveness, relief from the punishment we would otherwise deserve, according to your rules, because Christ has kept the law for us. We can see this also. I thought I'd marked it, but I don't. Where he asks for justice. He asks for God to save him according to his justice. I'm probably not going to be able to find it really quickly because I forgot to mark it. Okay. So how can we ask for God to save us according to his justice? Well, remember what 1 John 1:9 says, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, why is it that God's justice is the basis of our salvation? Because God is just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins, because Jesus has already died for those sins. So the justice of God is our hope, because it's just for God to not punish the same sin twice. So if Christ was already punished for that sin on the cross, we are not going to be punished for that same sin. So we can confess that sin knowing that Christ has already paid for it. This was our Maundy Thursday sermon. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I encourage you to listen to that. But Jesus made this once for all sacrifice. And so according to the justice of God, we are saved. But of course, that's also according to the promise of God, because Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise of God. So verse 116, I just see this on the screen now. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. So another something I wanted to observe here is that Psalm 119 makes it very clear that every part of God's law is great and endures forever. So sometimes as Christians, we get into this sort of theological shorthand where we think, oh, there's the civil law and the ceremonial law, and those don't apply anymore. But we need to be careful how we talk about that. Verse 160 of Psalm 119 says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Now, there's two ways you can go with this that Christians commonly go. One is to say, every one of your righteous rules endures forever. That means Christians today should be keeping every one of the righteous rules of God. That includes the dietary laws, that includes the feasts and the festivals, that includes all of the civil and ceremonial and everything that's in the law of God, because every one of your righteous rules endures forever. You could go down that road. Another road that Christians go down, though, is to say, no, we're freed from the law. So they endure forever, but Jesus fulfilled the law, so it's removed from us, and so it's really not applicable to us anymore, and it kind of endures forever in some sort of obscure, abstract way, right? But really not for us. So one is sort of a Mosaic legalism of the Judaizers, who were clearly condemned by Paul in Galatians and elsewhere, and the other is an antinomianism, or a lawlessness, which is also rejected clearly by the New Testament. You can't go down either one of these. So in the middle, the ground of salvation where we should stand is to see that every one of God's righteous rules are fulfilled in Christ and remain applicable to us in Christ. What does that mean, in Christ? Well, the moral law tells us what is morally required of us. Jesus summarized it by saying, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the very heart of the law. The Ten Commandments summarizes it. No other gods before me, no graven images. Honor God's name, honor God's day, honor your father and mother. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. And Jesus summarized that further by love God and love your neighbor. That is the moral heart of God. That is the character of God, the heartbeat of God. Glory to God, good to people. Love God, love your neighbor. That never changes. But it was fulfilled in Christ. We can't earn salvation by keeping that law. We don't keep that law. We break it. But Jesus fulfilled it for us. And in Christ, we have a perfect righteousness, a perfect fulfillment of that law that frees us from the condemnation of that law and frees us to be able to walk in that law by faith in Christ, in love for God and other people, not because we're trying to earn something, but because of what we've been given in Christ. The civil laws are those judicial codes and statutory laws for the nation state of Israel as a theocracy in the Old Testament. They're fulfilled in the fact that Christ is king and he reigns over his church. His kingdom is not of this world anymore, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he has a particular headship over his church. So his church should pursue the principles of justice and equity that are contained within the civil law. And those behaviors that are forbidden, we still should not be doing within the church. And so church discipline and obedience to Christ the King is the way that that civil law is fulfilled in Christ and still applies to us, not as a theocratic nation state among the nations of the world like Israel was, but rather as the kingdom of God spread throughout the whole earth. And then the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law had everything to do with holiness and cleanliness and sacrifice. In other words, how can we approach God? How can we approach God? How can we be holy and clean? And how can a sacrifice allow us to access God and his throne? That's all been fulfilled in Christ as our sacrifice and our great high priest. So Christ's sacrifice makes us clean. Christ as great high priest gives us access to the throne of God. So we still keep all of the righteous rules of God, but as they are fulfilled in Christ. Christ our king, Christ our righteousness, Christ our sacrifice, and our great high priest. In Christ, we are just, we are righteous, we are holy, and we should be striving to live lives that please God, not to earn salvation, but because of what's been given to us. And then the particular forms of like which sacrifice is offered and what dietary laws, those particular forms are not what we keep in that same way because Christ has fulfilled them. We are acceptable because of the once for all sacrifice of Christ. We are clean, not because of what we eat or don't eat or wear or don't wear or where we go or don't go. We're clean because Christ has made us clean. All of those laws were about being clean and holy and having access to God. So this is my way of saying everything is about Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Everything's fulfilled in Jesus. He is the salvation of God. He is the steadfast love of God. He is the Word of God made flesh. He's the promise of God kept. He's our everything. That doesn't give us an excuse to be lazy and disobedient. It gives us every motivation to love and serve the Lord with free and joyful hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son, our Savior. Thank you for the salvation we have in him, rich and full and free. We love you because you have first loved us. Help us to walk in your ways by your grace and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for the second half of Psalm 119. Tomorrow we are going to be going back to the book of Job. Hope you can join me for that, and I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.